Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Sing it out on the first. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. On the second, while we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. Let's sing the last now. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I'll sing the chorus. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. When we all get to heaven, what singing, what shouting that will be. Amen. Woo, that's good. Amen.
I am only standing now because of mercy. I am nothing but a trophy of God's grace, poured out upon a soul so undeserving. When on a cruel cross he took my place,
of earth.
treasures up in heaven, and I've got wealth this world can't take away. My hope is built on sinless blood that was shed for me, that still flows freely from the cross today. I still glory in the cross, the cross of Calvary. For I would still be lost had it not been for that old rugged tree. Nothing to could ever pay redemption's cost. But Jesus paid it for me, and the cross still tells the story. That's why I still glory in. That's why I still glory in the cross. The cross.
Read some scripture. I felt impressed to turn to this scripture just as soon as our song service began, and so we're going to read. Just let the Lord do His work. Psalm 136. Such a blessing. And it's a scripture that we all know here at Westside, and there's many others, but I just want to, Brother Bill said, I just want to give thanks. Well, that's exactly what takes place in this chapter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, that's wonderful, and that's great instruction. But then the Bible goes ahead and it goes a little further and tells us why we should give thanks unto the Lord. The next four words says, for He is good. Now let me say this, and I think we're all guilty of this at times in our Christian walk. We don't always know or fully recognize the goodness of God in our lives. But that doesn't change the fact that He is good. Just because we don't see it, just because we can't agree with it, doesn't mean it's not so. We can give thanks to the Lord because His Word promises us, for He is good. And then the Bible goes just a little further and tells us a little bit of His goodness when it says, for His mercy endureth forever. Isn't that wonderful? He could come down on each and every one of us for one reason or the other. He could show His judgment on us. His wrath could be could be fallen upon us this very hour, but in spite of it, because he loves us, because he's a gracious God, we find that his mercy, you know, it's one thing to experience his mercy just 5 minutes ago, or maybe yesterday or the day before, but I'm so glad that for those times of mercy, he's already shown us, but we have it guaranteed in God's word that his mercy will be upon our shoulders forever. It endureth, it exists, it is working actively in our lives, and it's not going to stop. Hey, it didn't start yesterday, and it's not going to stop today because it endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods. You know, I feel badly for the cults of this world. I feel badly for the Buddhists. They've made a god out of that man, and I don't know what kind of life he lived, but it doesn't matter. If he didn't know Jesus, when he passed, he didn't go to heaven. If he didn't know the Lord, when he passed, he was interrupted with hell. And so I feel badly for that man, but he's been made a god by millions and millions of people. But our God says that I was the God of that man made God. Did you understand what I just said? In other words, I'm the God of Buddha. I mean, he takes care of it all. I'm glad he is merciful and so forth. You know, Mr. Muhammad, he's greatly regarded in some circles, but nevertheless, and people have made, if I may say, a god out of him, but the Bible says that we serve the God of gods. The false gods that men have raised, he's the God of them. In other words, his authority is not dimmed or shortened. He is God. When the Bible says he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, it means what it says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. There in verse 3. For his mercy endureth forever. I sure do wish the lords of this world would come to the conclusion and understanding that there is a Lord that is Lord over them. Our Lord is the Lord over the council, not security council, but the, help me out, folks. Well, no, this is local. No, local. Thank you, the city council. I told you it's been a rough day. I didn't get in bed after 4 a.m. this morning, and we went home, and I didn't even eat. I just went right back to bed and tried to get some rest. But hopefully I'll be a little better off tonight than I was this morning. I'm not so sure about it at this minute, but that's what I'm hoping for. But nevertheless, he's the Lord over the city council and county council. He's the Lord over Congress and the Senate. Hey, and I know they don't like this, but he's the Lord over the White House. And you know those God haters at the UN, bless their hearts. They don't understand that he's even Lord over them. You know, they've got their plan. They've got their agenda. But they don't understand that behind the scenes, there's a God, there's a Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and he lords over them, and he will use the little L-O-R-Ds in order to cause his will to unfold. It's unfolding, folks. Things are happening. Jesus is coming. He's the Lord of lords. Amen. Well, to him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to tell you, I listened to Brother Bill's testimony last Sunday. And I want to tell you, we serve a Lord that does great wonders. I want to tell you that what we heard last Sunday in this testimony was nothing less than the actual hand of God moving into this family's life. It was nothing less. It was all God, and it was a major event. And I want to say that our Lord is still doing wonders in the lives of His children today. I looked around even as we were testifying this morning, and I saw so many that were in the congregation that had diseases that should have taken them off the planet, and yet they were still here sitting on the pews at Westside. I thank God for that, but I believe that that's another example of God's great wonders. I don't have it all figured out, ladies and gentlemen. I don't understand it all. I don't understand why God chooses to take some and not others. I really do not understand what He does all the time and why He does it. I just know this. He understands, and that's what counts. But He is a God of great wonders. And then, of course, His mercy still endureth forever. Then in verse 5, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. Do you understand that the Bible is talking about the creation here? That we're reading the account of the book of Genesis. We're talking about the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very Creator of the universe. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, I have a difficult time wrapping my mind around God's creation. And it really speaks, I believe, of just how great He is. I mean, the sun, I believe they say it's 93 million miles from the earth. But yet there are days in the summertime that the heat bears down on the surface of this planet. And when you go outside, I mean to tell you, it's intense. You can feel that heat. You find yourself looking for a shade tree. Personally, I like to find myself looking for an aero-conditioned room. But nevertheless, God's creation, God's great light, the sun here. And then He makes another great light in the next verse to rule by night. And imagine, now folks, this just happened according to the evolutionists. They think that it just so happens that the moon was put exactly where it's put, made out of these special materials it's made out of, that it can reflect the sunlight at night and give us light at night. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the power, that is the greatness of our God. And it's His mercy that endureth forever. I believe that when we read the first part of each one of these verses, the reason we're hearing about the greatness of God is because when we hear again, His mercy endureth forever, the author is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving us an example of just how great and how large, how wonderful and powerful this thing is that we call mercy. Well, I want to say that I was watching a documentary the other night, and the documentary was something of the effect entering the core of the earth. And of course, they talk as if they were there yesterday. The scientists do. And they had all the computer-generated pictures and, man, I mean, and video. And it was impressive. But it blew my mind because they went through the first few hundred miles of the crust and then another 1,000, another 1,500 miles down into the earth. And as they entered, they entered what they called the core, the outer core of the earth. They said that its temperature reaches around 7,200 degrees Fahrenheit. And they said that within the outer perimeter of the core, And like I said, they speak as if they were there just yesterday. They said there are great twisters like tornadoes of lava that reaches up that are 1,000 miles high. And they said, but they only move 6 miles a year. You know, I was thinking about how God's word tells us about hell being a bottomless pit. Would that not describe the souls being spun around in a hellish whirlwind forever and forever and forever? Imagine our God that created the sun and created the moon, created the belly of this planet. And our God and His Word tells us explicitly that this is where hell is. This place where the Bible says the worm dieth not. And whether you believe the worm is a picture of the soul, or if you believe the literal sense that those that are lost will burn in hell and have worms infesting them, does it really matter? At the end of the day, the lost, those without the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, will spend eternity in this place called hell. We've got a God that loves so much, as we mentioned this morning, that He sent His only begotten Son to die for your sins and my sins. And He did it. Why? Because He loved us. Because He loved us. And because His mercy endureth forever. Do you think that the King of the universe, sitting on the platform of heaven, stood up, walked out of the gates of heaven and down into the womb of a dirty, rotten sinner? Do you think, can we possibly believe that this is not an act of this mercy that endureth forever? For this God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to step out of heaven as God and take on the flesh as a man, that took mercy. And when He activated that mercy, He hit the switch, if I may say, and the mercy machine began to roar. It'd never have a breakdown. It'd never have a glitch. It'd never go into the shop for repairs. The mercy endureth forever and ever and ever. Say, preacher, if God's mercy endureth forever, then why would He send someone that rejects His Son? Why would He send them to hell? And the answer is this, and you know what it is. The truth is that even tonight, the enduring mercy of God is being handed out to a lost person. And there is your eternity, because you have a choice tonight to accept and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ or reject Him. And when you embrace Him, you are a recipient of this mercy and love and graciousness. And you experience a mercy that endures forever. I believe that God is merciful. If an individual dies and goes to hell, it will be because they've rejected Christ. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, if you die and go to hell, you will not be able to curse the name of God, because if you go to hell, it'd be because you rejected the name of Jesus. So His mercy endureth forever. Isn't that good? You know, then when we continue to read, we find, I like it, a lot of cool stuff. I like it. But you know, this man, this God, whose mercy endureth forever, I like it because he also set out the stars. You know, the Bible says that he knows the name of every star. I've got a book from the 1800s and 50s. And if you open it up, you know what it says? It says, oh my goodness, there's probably 100 million stars out there. That's in 1850. But do you know what they're saying now? In the trillions. Trillions. And if God tarries, it's coming. Our wonderful science community will one day say, well, we thought it was 2 trillion, but now we see it's 3 trillion. Oh, we thought it was 3 trillion, but now we see it's 4 trillion. You see what is so wonderful about that is God named every one of them when he hung them up in the sky. You say, well, how could he do that? Well, let me say this. You ever seen a mama forget the name of her children? I'm not talking about premature dementia sister or something like that. I mean, seriously. They know that name of those kids. Now, they don't do it anymore, but used to. A lady might have 8, 10, 12 kids. And they knew each and every one of them. I want to tell you, the Lord knows who you are tonight. He hasn't forgotten you. Whether you be a professing Christian and you struggle through life storms, he hasn't forgotten you. His mercy endureth forever. You're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to tell you something. He knows you. The Bible tells us if a sparrow falls from the sky, he knows it. The Bible tells us that God knows not just your name, but he knows how many hairs are in your head. Before you take your shower in the morning and after. Amen. Amen, sister. That's what Jesus does. That's who he is. What he does so well is his mercy. Folks, I just felt like praising the Lord tonight. Amen. But I do believe tonight there's a possibility with as many folks that are here that there could be one that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I just want to tell you, tonight could be an act of mercy from heaven for you. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows who you are, what you are, where you are, and why you are what you are. And he loves you. And tonight, he may have brought you to Westside Baptist Church that you could be like Miss Betty's sister who's on her deathbed, lost and undone, but accepted the Lord Jesus as her personal Savior, and today was reading her Bible. Listen to me. I was called to the hospital a few years back to St. Francis Hospital in Greenville, South Carolina. I walked into a room, and there was a lady that was a church member of over 40 years. She had sung in the choir at our church. And she had been told that morning that she had 3 months to live that morning. They called me to the hospital because she did not feel like she was saved. So the church membership's got nothing to do with it. Absolutely. That little lady grabbed me by the hand weeping and asked Jesus to come into her heart and to save her soul. She was born again that Monday. She was told Monday morning she had 3 months. Monday, she accepted Christ as her Savior. Listen, that Saturday, 6 days later, Jesus took her home. We don't know. The doctors can say you got 3 months, a year, 5 years, whatever, but only the Lord Jesus knows. But He's merciful enough to possibly send you to Westside Baptist Church so you could hear the gospel tonight. The invitation is just this, Brother William. The invitation is just this. Christians, I believe there's many of you here tonight like Miss Betty. Miss Betty had a sister lost and on the deathbed. And now we're praying for the brother-in-law. So tonight, Christians, you know who that person is in your family that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you'll consider coming and praying for them tonight that they'll be saved. But I want to go a step further. Tonight, the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to share the gospel for someone in this room. I'm not pointing fingers because I don't know who's saved and who's not. But you know, and Jesus knows. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, don't leave this room. I didn't ask you if you walked down the aisle popping gum and got on your knees and said a little prayer because somebody else said it or a friend did it or you thought it was a thing to do or somebody pressured you to do it. I'm saying if you realize you're a dirty, rotten sinner, you have not been redeemed by God for those sins, then you need forgiveness of those sins. You need to be on this altar tonight begging Christ to save you, come into your heart, and make you a new creature in Christ. That's the invitation. Pretty simple, huh? Let's stand up, please. Do you know someone that needs Jesus? Maybe we'll come pray for them.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior.
Invitation is still open. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please don't leave the church. You could go out here and go out into eternity. It's a sad thing, but just two weeks ago, we lost a church member to a car accident. They were just on the way home after work. No one ever dreamed that they would be having a funeral last Wednesday, but they did. I want to say to you that God knows the day and the hour that you were born, but He knows the day and the hour which you're to die. And I'm saying that if you don't know Christ, don't chance this thing. don't take a risk of dying and going to hell. As we come, if you don't know Christ, come forward that we can show you how you can know the Lord before it's eternally too late. Brother Wick.
Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet. While on others thou art called.